And now, another eFed journal entry with your host, TJ.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of eFed Journal. I'm your host, the host with the most interviews in eFedding history. Not true at all, but I'm TJ. That's true. And then also the handler of the Soul Philly TJ and William Alexander. William Alexander Andrews, both those facts are true. The truth is, we're at episode 18, hashtag EFJ18. If you are listening to this, when you're tweeting about this, that'd be great. Got Rex Evans, Trich, some may know him. Got him on, had a great chat, middle of the day. Some great stuff. Fun stuff. Because Trich is actually a wrestler, and we talk about how his real, quote, real wrestling, and this combined at times and whatnot and help him out. But first, we have to get to a little thing that, you know, I'm just going to have the English guy, English robot guy, take it away from me. At least introduce what we got this week for the first time. English bot guy, EBG. Take it away.
This journal entry is brought to you by
Code Red Wrestling. Code Red Wrestling opened in 2011 and quickly caught on within the expert circle, winning Best New and Up-and-Coming eFed and becoming an official experts fed in the summer of 2012. Now a proud member of CWC as well, Code Red is quickly becoming a household name in the e-wrestling world and looks to continue to lead the way, looking for new ways to make the game better and more fun for players of all skill levels with bi-weekly schedule that allows you to enjoy your life or other eFeds with ease. No word limits or caps on roleplay, CRW is a home of e-wrestling freedom. Part-time or full-time, they pride themselves in helping you, the handler, expand your character and tell your story on your terms. You can visit Code Red Wrestling at CodeRedWrestling.com for more information. Oh, how was that? Was it a little rough? Like I said, if you saw the tweet, it's practice for me reading off a advertisement or whatnot copy, which I don't really think. I think that's my worst part about it. I mean, I sound natural now because I'm an idiot naturally, and if I try to sound smart, it's not working. But if you're a Fedhead and you'd like to advertise, sponsor this future episode, it's free. There was some confusion whether they might have to pay in some. No paying at all. You're advertising. Think of it as a post on eFed Nights, Rough Cut, CWC, any inner Fed. Think of it like that. All free. Get your Fed out there if you're interested. And if you're a free agent and listening to this, why don't you check those guys out? But yeah, if you're interested, if you're a Fed head, or you think your Fed head would be interested in it, send me an email at efedjournal.com. At efedjournal@gmail.com, subject advertising, 50 to 150 words. Put in some information that you're going to sell your Fed, you know, RP limit, word limit, schedule, show schedule, all that kind of stuff. So now that all that's out of the way, let's get to it. My interview with Rex Evans starts right about now. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm joined today, as you saw, or tonight, or whenever you're listening to this, middle of the day, good morning. When you're listening to this, but you're listening to me, TJ, and I'm joined by Trich, otherwise known as the handler behind Rex Evans.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing swell. Doing swell. I woke up from a nap about an hour ago.
Always good.
Yeah, got to take a nap before these things. These things can tire you out. I hope you took a nap.
We'll pretend I did.
All right, that's fine. Just don't let me down. Don't fall. you're the handler behind Rex Evans. Character who hasn't really been around all that much, but you have. How long have you been role-playing for?
About 9 years. I started in 2004.
Okay. With, and then, Keep going.
A little fed at the time is called Extreme Fanatic Wrestling, and I actually got roped in a WWF AIM chat room. He told me about it, and I started out making the infamous two-paragraph role plays.
Yes, I love them. We all start there, for the most part.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm.
But we're here to focus about Rex, so we're gonna because he's a newer character in the sense that he's only been around for a year now, right?
True. Yep.
So
a little bit over.
Yeah. So this is gonna be one of those where we're gonna start bullshitting and whatnot. But actually, before we start, you're an interesting fellow. You're an interesting guest, a little bit different, interesting from the rest.
Okay.
You're actually a wrestler.
True, I am. I'm just recently breaking into the indie scene in Wisconsin and the Midwest.
Nice. Were you just driving around on the weekends, trying to get every booking that you can get in?
Yeah, I pretty much wrestle every Saturday, sometimes Fridays, mostly around the Wisconsin area. But I've also been traveling up to Michigan. We went out to North Dakota once, and we're going to Iowa in a couple weeks.
Nice. How long have you been when did you start training?
Training started, I think, back in September.
Okay, so you're really fresh.
Really fresh in the independent scene, but I did used to do that no-no word that starts with a B.
Backyard wrestling.
So I've had a few years of experience in a ring, but professionally trained and working the indies has only been for about a year.
That's cool. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that because that's always interested me. Just because, you know, everybody in a sense is either a backyard wrestler or just one of the guys that screwed around with friends and would put, you know, choke slam people onto beds.
Trampolines
also. That's actually the fun one. Because you get the three guys, one would chokeslam and one would jump off the roof to hit a drop kick and almost fall off the trampoline.
Right. I've seen plenty of that kind of thing.
that's awesome, man. So we're probably going to return to that because there's some follow-up questions, but I want to get to know the character of Rex Evans. Where did the origins of Rex Evans start?
Well, I wanted to do something a little bit different. When I created Rex, I simply created him for high stakes in the hopes of moving on to the Extreme Tournament.
The Experts High Stakes Battle Royal.
Yep. I had been on a break for about 2 or 3 years at the time, and I just kind of wanted to – I didn't even think that I wanted to get back into it. I just kind of wanted to see if I still had it and what I could kind of do, and then maybe just keep him around for Experts tournaments and shows and stuff like that. So when I made him, I had just watched Warrior, and I basically wanted to create a character that was just really dry so that I could mold him throughout rather than trying to make a gimmick off the top of my head and just push it right away. I just wanted to make a kid that had a lot of similarities to me, but was just trying to break into the business and everything would pick up from there. So like that's really how it started, was just a blank slate with a name pretty much.
Okay. So did you initially have him as a convict, like in prison at the beginning, or is that something that came just a little bit down?
That's one of the things where it just came from nowhere. When I first made him, Rex didn't have any family issues. He wasn't in prison, no trouble or anything like that. And then after High Stakes, when I signed up for the ET 2012, I was like, I want to do something different. What can I do? And then I kind of tweaked his background a little bit and made him have daddy issues. And then the reason he went to jail was because of how shitty I did and he did at the High Stakes thing, because I got eliminated within like 30 seconds of getting to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So he just went home, and that's where I picked up the alcoholism thing. I'm like, let's make him an alcoholic He's going to go out to the bars and
let's ruin this guy's life.
Right, right. Beat the fuck out of some kid and have the role play end with him getting thrown into the back of a cop car, and we'll see where it goes from there.
See, I don't know, but my character, he went to jail for something similar, but he went a little bit farther. He just, for no reason other than somebody was hitting on his sister while he was at an office work. Now, just imagine that. TJ's a 6'10", almost 300-pound guy in an office. but the guy was a dickhead, hits on his younger sister, so TJ throws him through about four walls. And then when somebody tries to stop him, he throws the guy who was hitting on his sister into whoever was trying to stop him.
Okay.
And then he ended up in prison and just kind of got real depressed and angry and would just start fights and everything. So like what started out as maybe like a six or seven month sentence turns into a 5-year sentence.
Okay.
So that was just the backstory to get him from like 2001 to about 2006, 2007 when I started.
Okay. Yeah, I've started to realize after making him that prison isn't as unused as I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
It is used more, but I think I kind of took it I took it a little bit further because a lot of people use it as like a backstory or like a one cycle thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas I had him actually incarcerated throughout pretty much the first year of his career. So mm-hmm. everything was going on in jail and all that. So I think I still made it a little bit different than the norm with it.
Now, did you said you watched the movie Warrior.
Right.
What'd you think of that movie? I thought it was pretty good.
Five stars.
Five stars?
Sure. I loved it.
I'd say at least four. No less than four, depending on like what you... I thought it was great, though.
Yeah, I definitely loved it. Tom Hardy is quickly becoming one of my favorite actors.
Is that the reason why you picked him as your pick base?
Yeah, I figured... I wanted to start him out as like a clean slate, not over the top, so I didn't really want anybody with gear... But I wanted somebody who would have pictures that looked like he was fighting. So I just figured that he would be the perfect fit.
Nice. Because that's just a great movie. Every time I see your graphics and whatnot, I'm like, great movie. And then I go watch it on Netflix. It's like a trigger.
Like, that's what I was hoping for. They should pay me advertising.
So you start, you enter the Experts High Stakes Battle Royal, which I'm pretty sure the winner gets automatic entry into the group stage, right?
Quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals, yeah, that's right.
There we go. It was Drake Mosa won.
That bastard.
Right? I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
So was that your first time in the Experts?
Yeah, that was, Experts, yes. That was my first time doing an event. Before my little 3-year break, I did do a stint with VWF, so I was technically a part of the Experts. I had mm-hmm. a little score and everything, but I only lasted for a couple months there, so I don't really count it. But
that's your first foray into the Interfed.
Right.
That is the Experts.
Yep.
So, really for those who listen and they're not really entirely sure of the Experts, I guess we'll take a moment to just explain that it's... The Experts is kind of the perfect way to explain it. You know, you have some of the best writers ever
mm-hmm.
basically beating the shit out of each other. And for some guys like me who know that I'm not their level and I'm a few levels back, it's fun because it's like, all right, let me see how good I am now against these guys.
It's a really good way to push yourself and mm-hmm. and see what you can do. And, I mean, there's writers from every level in there. I'm not going to name names or anything, but I mean, there's bottom par, there's mid par, there's high par. It's really a good place, especially with them opening it up. Because I think 64 is more than they had last year. I don't remember for sure. But every year it seems like they add more people, and then it lets in a wider array of talents and characters. And it's just really a good way to see where you measure up and how good you do. And for me, it was an opening that I needed to change something, opened my eyes a little bit. Things had changed in the 3 years that I was gone.
So, you do the high stakes battle royal. Your character has an embarrassing showing.
Yes, to say the least.
Gets drunk, assaults a guy, gets arrested. Then he, like, and then you enter the Extreme tournament. Now, do you do as a free agent? Mm-hmm. Now, do you throughout is your first role play for the Extreme tournament that, or is it feeding off of that?
My first role play, if I'm remembering correctly, was the whole drunken scene. Like the first scene of the role play was Rex getting all emotional in the rain outside of Legacy Plaza. And then it jumped forward to Oshkosh landing and going to the bar and getting drunk and then beating the crap out of him. And then it ended with a little bit of a cliffhanger for the next round that, like, he blacked out as somebody tackled him. So it was kind of alluding to the fact that it was the police, but I didn't really say that it was. Mm-hmm. And then I think the next week I actually had him arrested, and he started touring to all the different feds in the back of an armored truck with two police escorts.
See that? Okay.
I was writing them with, like, flashbacks, so it wasn't okay. As it was happening. Like, he got arrested the day after High Stakes, but I was doing flashbacks in there. And then flash forwards to, like, press conferences and that kind of generic thing.
Okay. So, one thing that I know a lot of people who I've told about the Rex Evans character, as far as, like, the backstory, they said, he's a convict, but they're letting him out to wrestle.
Right. That was one of the things that I struggled with, because I really am about realism.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to try to make this character as real as I can, but again, it's fiction and everything, so yeah. I mean, I think you're allowed
a little bit of leeway.
Mm-hmm. So I just tried to make it as real as I can. He's taken everywhere in handcuffs for the beginning of it. He's taken everywhere in an armored truck, and he's always got two fully armed and suited up cops on him, so he can't do anything. And when he does, for instance, for one of my experts, promos, I had him in a press conference and he started to go a little psycho and he flipped a table at all of the reporters, and then the police had to come out. And that was the first time that I actually showed that it was police that were always following him around. Cause before then I was just mentioning them as the guy walking with me, and I was like keeping it hidden that he was in prison. And then when he flips the table, the two cops come out and jump him and restrain him and pull him back. But throughout the whole thing, I tried to make it as real as possible with, him always having the escorts and everything. And then eventually I had him, cause it was getting really stale, always having him walking around in handcuffs backstage. So after a couple months, I had him go back to a trial, and they agreed that since he was contracted and Talon was okay with it, as long as he was in the arena with his escorts, he didn't have to wear handcuffs anymore. Hmm. Like, I tried to explain everything as realistically as I could, but in the real world, yeah, none of that shit would ever happen.
Yeah. I didn't mind it because the effort was there to at least explain it. Like, it's just, you weren't lazy about it. Some people would be lazy about
it. Right.
That's where, like, I'm all for realism, and I can suspend my disbelief when I'm reading it, because, like you said, it's fiction. But there's, like, some things, like, oh, this guy's smoking weed backstage at an event. I can deal with smoking weed at your house.
Right.
Or something like that, but there's no way that they'd allow you to smoke weed on camera.
Right.
Like, that at least makes the confidence. And that's like a bug. Some people are like, oh, well, you're just being unrealistic. No, it's a TV show. It's on live TV.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see somebody do that, and then the next week, somebody arrests them.
Yeah.
Like,
especially with all these wellness policies flooding.
Yeah, right? but it's back to just your character. It was an interesting take, because it did set you apart, because, you know, this guy's... Everybody, like, I mean, my guy went with jail, and there's no way a guy who's been incarcerated for 5 years would be contracted. It would not be hired at this place.
Right.
You know, I think at the same time, like, going back in time, I probably would write it a lot more words than two paragraphs. Yeah. But would write it along the lines of a PR nightmare for the place.
Right.
And, like, for the first 3 years, having TJ prove that that's not him, at least anymore, that there's somebody different that you see in front of you.
Yep, yep, definitely. And I kind of tried to touch on that, too, because as soon as I came, Talon was really open to my ideas and everything, and I started using his character with his permission and everything and kind of made it difficult, and that he was trying also to prove to everybody that I'm a good guy, because he got to meet me on a closer level through the tournament and a little bit after, like, coming to Visitation and everything, and I proved to him that I was a good guy or whatever, so I had his character kind of trying to prove that to fans and everything, too, to make him acceptable. Mm-hmm. That was another thing, too, when I started him as that blank slate, I usually hate neutral, you know, it's, you're either a face or a heel.
Yeah.
But I really wanted... I didn't care. I wanted the challenge of writing a face or a heel. I didn't care what I was going to write. So I literally started him off neutral just so that I could see where it went. And through my role plays and then through results, he became a face, which at first glance makes no sense. Here's an assault, a guy who is incarcerated for assault being walked around in handcuffs and County Orange, and now the fans are cheering for him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just how it went, and it worked, and he's been face ever since. So
basically, you sold a script to the Warrior, and instead of MMA, you made him a pro wrestler.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
I just like how some people, when they introduce a character, they introduce it with a bodyguard or a valet or just a manager. You introduced your character with two professionally trained sheriffs. I like it.
Right. Yep.
And I think that's the one thing that's missing from this year's edition of the Extreme Tournament. But I prefer the way that they did it this year. Last year and the previous years, the Extreme Tournament would be a group stage.
Right.
Then it would lead into the knockout stages.
Right.
And it would allow people to build these storylines up and whatnot and make that final card so much more.
Right.
Because, yeah, you know, you'd have maybe, I think it was 64 last year. I think
was
they it? Had 60, yeah.
Okay.
But you had, they made 16 out of the 64 advance or something like that. I think it's about that.
Yeah.
So you have a fourth of, you have three quarters of the original sign-up field not going in anymore. So you have to find something to do so that group stage helps out because... I could, if we're in the same group stage and I'm in a group stage with two great guys and you're in a group stage with a group of death, like you have like Terry Marvin, Jack Benevolence, all these kind of guys.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I got to step my game up, but right. I also have to have a backup plan.
Right.
And I could talk to you and like we could work something out to be a team or do some like little silly bet or something like that where we'd have something to do for the last card.
Right.
This year is just 64 people. You lose, you're out. There's no group stages, which I like because it makes it quicker.
Yeah, it does.
And it makes it easier for Russ to do because he doesn't have to worry about reading, 64 role plays a week?
Times
five. So.
Yeah.
So you build your story, you introduce the character at the Experts High Stakes Battle Royal, then you flesh him out throughout the group stages. And did you make it past the group stage?
I didn't.
Okay, so the group stage of the Extreme Tournament, you're fleshing him out and you introduce him. You don't advance past the group stage, which is okay. Not a lot of people did.
Right.
You said, you know, there's your bottom par, people, your middle par, and your top par. That bottom par still is talented as fuck.
Right.
So it's not like...
I tied with Masaru, however you say his name, Maz from PW. Mm-hmm. I tied him, and that made me happy. I was like, I know this guy. I've heard his name before. I know everybody else is talking big about him. You know, nobody predicted me to win or anything like that. Then I tied him. So that was enough for me going forward, that I wasn't upset about not going on, and it made me realize something about my writing, that I still had the ability to write something good. I just needed to really practice, and that's kind of what made me want to get back into it, and then decided to post my bio on the free agent board at EFK.
And while you do that, you do that, and I'm going to assume, you know, if you kind of come out of nowhere, you become one of the guys that Fed heads go, well, I want him, and then you probably get your PM box probably got filled pretty quickly, I'm assuming.
I got a few. You're not allowed. I think that they run it like you're not allowed to PM unless I ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just posted that I wanted replies from people, and then I would seek out, because I really only wanted to go to an experts fed if I was going to go at all.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against non-experts feds, but I really wanted to focus on ET, because when I was originally doing it, I really just wanted to prove myself in the ET. So I got contacted by SCW and CRW, and throughout the ET reading results and the buildup and all that, I was really, I thought it was really cool, how they were bringing CRW in and everything. And then Buck Dempsey was tweeting me all the time, like, good job, good luck and all this. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go to CRW. I'm going to see what they're about. Cause, they were getting bigger, at that point, but they were still, you know,
they were fresh.
They were really fresh. Yeah. I think they had Black Death and Flynn's, and those, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or anything, but I think those were the only two from the experts that were there. So, I mean, it was mostly their core CRW people still. And then just Flynn's and Black Death. So I wanted to come in there and kind of see what I could do and step it up. And then since then, it's become huge. It's definitely one of the growing feds in the experts.
Yeah, it's especially, I mean, I've known of Code Red since probably November or something around there. And I went over and whatnot, and then it probably wasn't until like January or February I really got to know Code Red Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of these things, like, I remember feds like this that were new and that they welcomed everybody and they were so like, because, you know, there's sometimes where you get feds where, you know, it's, they go on, they're there for, you know, at minimum 5 years and they're a family and it's kind of hard to break into the family.
Right.
So it was kind of refreshing to be like, oh man, these guys are like so welcoming. Everybody, like, and nobody takes themselves too seriously. Everybody jokes, you know.
And we are still a family. We still have that family vibe, but we're always welcome to new people and growing the family rather than just saying, nah, get out of here. This is us.
You're not allowed anymore. So you enter Code Red Wrestling with Rex. It's his first actual fed. You were talking about how with Rex you were writing that Talon was getting to know him on a personal level and was trying to help Rex basically be Rex's spokesperson, because, you know, you can do it yourself and say, yeah, I'm not that kind of guy in kayfabe. Yeah, I'm not that kind of guy. What happened was wrong. I'm not that kind of guy. But when somebody else comes out and says he's not that kind of guy, I don't get that vibe.
Right.
It kind of helps your character. It gives you something more to write about.
Yep. And it started with Buck, and then Buck's character kind of dragged Talon into it, and then they were both kind of there, always at visiting hours, talking to me about it and working through the contract. Because CRW is really into the realism thing too, so he's actually got like pay scales and contract years and stuff like that. So we were going through like contract negotiations and stuff like that in a visitation room, and Buck and Talon were always both there. So it made it more fun for me, because in prior feds, I didn't have a lot of integration with other characters. I was always just more of a story writer, and I used to be really good at shoot promos, but I suck at them now. But it was mostly just shoot on my opponents and then develop my personal story, and I didn't really give a shit about anybody else because they didn't care about me. But then, like, as soon as I got here, everybody was like, oh, let's do this, let's do this. And everybody's involved in storylines and everything. And it was really cool, especially for the Fedhead to be one of the first people to kind of jump into my story. And pretty quickly, Rex started dating his sister, too. So I had never done one of those inside Fed relationships with a girl that I didn't create. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool to me, too. And it's been a really good experience being with CRW. I've been able to advance my skills and my story a lot over the past year.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about how you went from feds and communities that you just kind of did your own thing because nobody else cared about your character.
Right.
And then coming to a place like Code Red Wrestling where everybody wants to help everybody out.
Right.
Everybody wants to help everybody's character. How is that for you? That's like going to a different country.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was weird at first. Like I got AIM again for the first time in years because Talon recommended it because it was a good way to communicate rather than always waiting for PMs. And we were talking like every day about storylines and stuff like that. And I even told him, I'm like, this is weird. Like, I've never had a Fedhead actually go out of their way to try to build up my story and help me integrate. So it was definitely weird at first, but it's way better this way than just doing your own thing. It gets you more invested. It makes me want to stick around for the long haul and it gives me a lot more to work off of. So.
Okay. It's just interesting. You know, I like getting other people's experiences and their takes on it. Because, you know, we've all, at one point, whether it's in the really beginning of your stages or now, or you've gone back and forth between those kind of places, it's always, everybody can relate to it, and they all have their own personal opinion on that.
Right.
You know, some people prefer, they just shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. Some people prefer all storyline, story, all character development, and some people enjoy both. I'm one of them, you're one of them. A lot of people in CRW is like that.
Yep.
So you enter in September 2012 until, let's go to the end of the year. What is Rex Evans doing?
November Rain was the last pay-per-view of the year. Mm-hmm. And then I think we took like a holiday break or whatever. So I think that was the last show as well. And a couple weeks prior to that was the initiation of the Rex Evans Brandon Garcia feud. And then it kicked off in ring with the War Games match, which was Team Perseverance or Team Greater Perseverance versus Team Perfect 10. Our team was Buck Dempsey, Donovan Davenport, myself, Adrian Spector, William Bateman, and Colt Richards, I believe, was the sixth, against Katrina Nova and Alexis Prodigy, which is Perfect 10, Brandon Garcia, Leon Corbin, and then two people that flaked out.
Oy.
So, but Perfect 10 still beat us. So there are four role plays that did kind of blew us out of the water. So that was the start of the feud that then ran. So it ran a couple weeks before November Rain through Vendetta, which is when Rex won the world title from Garcia and Garcia disappeared.
Okay.
So it was, it was basically the start of the biggest feud for Rex. And it's also been nominated. It's been nominated for Feud of the Year. So,
okay. So how, I'm trying to think of a question here. But I mean, how is that? So you're really, you're kind of put from the free agent, you're kind of put in this high profile match. You know, it's War Games. It's probably the signature event of November Rain.
Yep.
And you're with Buck, who your character has made a relationship with
right
before Code Red. And then you're with Donovan Davenport, whose character is from like a military background.
Right. Buck's tag team partner.
Yeah. You're with William Bateman, who is, as Chris has described him, was kind of a prick in character.
He was supposed to be face when he first came to CRW. And it was basically just like one of those big interfed acquisitions okay. that we got. And then I think War Games was his first match, if I'm remembering correctly, for Code Red.
And then you had Colt Richards, who admittedly I was not there to know of Colt Richards. I've seen his name.
It's Gravedigger's secondary character.
Oh, okay. So there we go. I did not know that. Now I learn something. I learn something new every time I do these. And then you're going up against Rob's longest intro ever.
Right.
including the Perfect 10. You got Brandon Garcia, and you had, oh my God, this is what happens when I take naps. My memory still has to wake up.
Leon Corbin.
And then two flakes. So, I mean, do you remember who the flakes were?
I think it was Ryan Shane was the one that completely flaked out, never showed his face again. And then I think the other partner was Dominic Ryan, who just missed the deadline.
Okay.
And he still stuck around until a couple pay-per-views ago.
Okay. So you're going, this is just massive match, and you're like, I wasn't even here 2 months ago. Like, it's funny how quick things can change, because sometimes, you know, most people, regardless of skill, you work your way up, you have like a small thing, but you're working with Brandon Garcia, who is known
right
in CRW. He's a name in CRW.
We actually started right around the same time.
Did you? I thought. Oh no, he started Flynn's. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, he started. The character started. His character started in CRW. He made it for CRW. And debuted like a month before me.
Okay.
So we were both characters were pretty fresh when we started our feud.
So did he come to, I'm guessing since you went from a culture that's not really work together friendly type thing, that either he came to you or Talon went to both you guys and said, hey, why don't you guys are both new, establish your guys' character. I think you guys are going to do well. What was it? How'd you guys end up working together?
I think it was Talon's idea, and both of us loved it. I knew it was going to be good because Rex was getting built up as this big face at the time, and Garcia was pretty much the biggest heel. So it was going to work really well. And back then, they've changed it since then, but at that point, they had different divisions associated with each title. And so there was a world title division, and that's where I was thrown when I came in. So that explains a little bit why he was thrown into big matches right away, because that's the division that I was in. The way that the feud started was he was facing Gravedigger, and I was facing Merlin. And the winner of those two matches was going to be wrestling for the world title at November Rain, the main event after War Games, against the number one contender and the champion. I don't remember who those two were, but it was going to be a big fatal four-way for the title. And Talon talked to us both ahead of time, and it was actually angled rather than role-play-based. That he was going to come out and screw me over so that Merlin beat me. And then after that happened, Rex went out and screwed him over. So Gravedigger won. And then that's kind of how it started, where we both, he was pissed at me, I was pissed at him, and then I called him out for War Games, and because Buck's character had asked Rex to be on his team, and so I basically asked him to be on Ten's team. So it's kind of funny how it worked out in character, but that's kind of how it came about, as the beginning of the feud was us screwing each other over.
Okay. I'm just seeing, like, it all play out as in, yeah, I'll be on your team only if you can get him to be on that team. Like, it's almost like you're playing pickup basketball and, you know, the one guy's talking some good shit about how he's better than you. Look, yo, pick him. And right after you get picked on team, pick him. Pick him. I swear to God, pick him. I swear to God, if he's on my team, I'm gonna hit him.
Right.
So you from there, you go into a profile feud because it, you know, it's getting a lot of attention, obviously. But as outside of CRW, you decide to throw your name in a little interfed event called Survive and Conquer.
I'll be honest, I had never heard of it before, so it was little to me at first.
It's fine. You know, it's not. It's you just came back from a 3-year hiatus,
right?
And outside of that, you may have not known all that much about it. I don't think it was. I think it's been an interfed event for the last four or five years, maybe.
I'm not entirely sure.
Something like this. So basically, really, when you're on your way out before your break, it's becoming an interfed thing and gaining some traction, and then it gains all the traction while you're away.
Right.
When did you decide that you were going to enter Survive and Conquer?
I think that the signups and everything were while we were on our break, so I didn't really have anything to write, and I had a break from school as well, so I had all this free time. And I, again, the reason I started e-wrestling again was just to see how I measure up against people. So any kind of interfed thing, now that I knew that existed, I was throwing my name in everything.
Okay.
So, and I don't, maybe this is mentionable, but the reason that I'm seeing how good I am and stuff like that is I'm an English major going into my 5th year. Writing is what I want to do with my life. So that's kind of why I'm constantly writing and looking to see how good I am, I guess.
Note to self, do not face Rex Evans. Any English major person I've ever gone against has just ripped me apart. It's just my personal history. But no, it's interesting. I know a lot of guys who are in this because that's the major, that's their life. It's creative writing. It's bare bones is what this is. It's not... Right. You know, oh, it's role-playing. No, it's creative writing.
Right.
You're basically writing a story. I mean, Callahan's writing a book. I don't know if he wants me to tell everybody that, but he's writing a book. It has nothing to do with wrestling, but he's just like, you know, I've written enough that I think I could write an entire story. And he's shown me the first 2 chapters, and they're pretty awesome.
I'm working on a book, too.
Nice, nice. Send it over to me when you get a good portion you want to share.
I've been free writing for 2 years, so I don't know how well it's gonna do. But
hey, it's fine. it's as soon as you put either finger to key, brain to laptop, pen to paper. It used to be pen to paper, now it's everything else.
Whatever it is these days.
Yeah. That's all you gotta get. That's all it takes.
Yep.
So you enter Survive and Conquer, you know, with not much fanfare. Because you're not really that known. You're similar to Gordon Fury, where except you've had experience in the game. You know what you're doing. Gordon didn't know dick about e-fetting, and he's just like, oh, this seems like a good idea. Let's do this. So you go in, and I don't think anybody really said, like, look out for this guy. I'm not entirely sure. I didn't enter Survive and Conquer because at that time I was setting up the whole tap out title stuff.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I wasn't paying as much attention as you probably. If I knew I was doing the eFed journal a couple months down the road, I probably would have paid attention more to it. But, you know, getting. It came out of nowhere, seeing the final four, which was Gordon Fury, yourself, Sally, and Terry, because I knew a lot of the names in Survive and Conquer. And I was like, oh, these guys, this is, my, I think these are going to be my final four. Like, that's, those are the people. I don't, you know what? I think this one person is going to make a surprise. And when I, boom, two people that nobody heard dick about going into this thing finished top four. So talk to me about just coming out of nowhere and finishing third in a 100-man match.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'll admit, I didn't see it coming either. I was reading a bunch of the role plays, and I'm like, hey, what I put out was okay, but I don't think I'm going to – maybe top 10, you know, but I wasn't expecting anything. And then the night that results were supposed to go up, I had – it was a Sunday. I was in Green Bay for some reason. I live in Oshkosh. Which is, yes, exactly. They're an hour away from each other, and kind of in the middle is where my friend Nathan Gust lives. He just joined CRW as Nick Gotch.
Gotch.
Yep. and it was the same night as the Royal Rumble. So I was driving from Green Bay in the middle of a blizzard to his house. I wasn't planning on reading results until the next day because I didn't expect to do very good, so I didn't really care. And as I'm driving, I start hearing tweet sounds go off. And I look at my phone, and it's Talon tweeting, "Go Rex, go!" And I'm like, what the hell is this? So he must be reading results, and I just came out or something. And then 15 minutes later or something like that, he's like, You're the man, like making all these tweets about how good I'm doing. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then like it kept going like that. And then one of his tweets told me that I didn't win. So then I kind of like went back down again and I'm like, oh, okay. So it's just like what I suspected, you know. But then I decided I'd go ahead and skim the results when I got to the Royal Rumble. And so as I'm reading, like 50 people are gone. 60 people are gone, 70 are gone. I'm like, holy shit, I'm still in here. Because I came in like 17th, I think. So for my character to last that long, I'm like, holy shit, this is happening. And as it got down to like 20 and 15, I literally started trembling. And there's a house full of independent wrestlers like looking at me like, what the fuck is going on? It's just the Royal Rumble. Why are you trembling? And, like, I hadn't talked. And then all of a sudden, like, it got down to the final 10, and I'm still there. And I'm, like, muttering under my breath, holy shit, holy shit. And people just keep looking at me like, what the hell is going on? And then finally, like, I got to the final three, and I started freaking out. I was so happy with third. Because, like I said, I wasn't expecting to go anywhere. So third was awesome. I mean, to see my character go that far, it was a little bummer not to go all the way, obviously. But I was super happy with third.
It was funny because Gordon kind of echoed that same set. He's like, you know, I got so far ahead of myself cheering and hoping I'd win. And as soon as I saw I was in the top 10, that when I lost, I was disappointed. And then I thought I finished 4 out of 100.
Right.
Wow. Like,
yeah.
And it's completely understandable because at that point you're like, the fuck is going on? Somebody's fucking with me. There's no way this is going on. And you're like, I'm going to win. I'm going to do it. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Damn it. Fuck. I just finished third, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Suck my dick. I finished third. You're on the podium.
I was, like, cheering in Gus's living room, and everyone's trying to watch Royal Rumble.
So, you're doing that. That's all happening while there's people around you.
Yep.
And you're actually reacting to this as many of us would when we get home from doing these things.
Right.
So, did they, like, ask what the hell was going on?
Well, I explained it to a few of them, cause, like, Gust had done it before, and he was pretty open about e-wrestling. E-wrestling isn't frowned upon, like, backyard wrestling.
completely understandable. We all come – it's funny, though. That really – I mean, you got a lot of guys getting into it now. They've grown up with the internet, so the likelihood they've done it, and they are wrestlers, probably is pretty high.
Right. And they all knew that I was an English major, so I just explained to them that it was writing and wrestling, and I did good, and they were all like, oh, fuck yeah, good job, man.
I need to find some, like, independent wrestlers to be friends with. I try to explain, and they're like, dude, this gay. It's like, dude. It's writing. Like, I keep my brain in somewhat tack. You want to drink? Yeah, let's go drink, though.
on that note, I was drinking with one of my indie wrestling friends, and we were at a show that everybody crashed at the hotel at afterwards because it's like 3 hours out of the way. And so I went outside, and he came out with me, and I started talking about e-wrestling for some reason. And he's all like, oh, yeah, I used to do that. Not because I liked writing or was good at it, but because it really helped me develop my promo skills. So there is actually things and parts of e-wrestling that transition and help you out with real wrestling.
See, I was going to save it for towards the end of the podcast after we get away from your character. But since you brought it up, how much do you, when you're in the ring and actually wrestling, are you Rex? You're not Rex Evans when you wrestle.
No, I was Rex Renegade.
Okay.
I did keep the Rex name, but now I'm Rex Ritchie.
Okay.
Because Rex Renegade is a total backyard name, and I wanted to erase that memory. So, I'm Rex Ritchie, and I'm Uber Heel, so not Rex Evans.
So you're the opposite. You are purposely getting drunk and beating up people at a bar.
Right, right.
So, you know, is what your colleague said about it helping your promo skills, do you, I assume you're not exactly cutting promos all the time, given that you're fresh and whatnot, but when you do cut a promo, are you...
Yeah, I haven't cut any yet, anything like that. I'm still kind of a jobber, just kind of going out there and doing my thing. But it definitely helps me realize how you need to develop your character. And so that's kind of what I've been working on, because I don't get that platform for like segments or promos or anything like that on the shows. I have to develop my character through my wrestling and while I'm in the ring. So, I mean, e-wrestling and doing this kind of thing definitely helps open my eyes to what I need to do and other ways to do it through reading other characters and everything like that. And I'm sure when I get to the point where I am cutting promos that it will help.
I have a feeling like 10 years from now, we'll all still be watching wrestling. We'll have a whole bunch of people who are crediting e-wrestling for getting into being able to like develop a great character on busted open radio.
That'd be pretty awesome.
It would be because it's just like, see, now you can't like. Then again, it's still wrestling. It's still pro wrestling. It still comes with a stigma.
Right.
But I really don't care. I'm 21 now. If you don't like me because of that, you're petty. Anyways. I guess it's easier for you to explain to your friends and your coworkers that you're doing this than anybody else, really, because it's still within your field. You know, it's something like me for sports broadcasting. I do a podcast. I do this podcast. Right. I'd say, oh, it's this podcast. It helps me with my, it's like, what's the topic? Creative writing, with wrestling as the basis for the creativity. And they're like, oh, all right. So you're using it just, it's like practice. So yeah, it's practice. This is why it's turned into more than practice, really.
Yeah.
But it's easier to explain to people for you because it's wrestling. It's basically, I basically work on my promo stuff without getting mic time. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we'll get back to the Rex Evans now. I'll probably come up with some more wrestling because it's I don't get to talk to somebody who does this and wrestles.
Right.
Like legit wrestles. So, you finish third. Everybody's like, holy fuck, holy fuck. This guy is the like, everybody's talking. When you're reading that, you're like, holy fuck, Gordon Fury, holy fuck, Gordon Fury. And then it's, holy fuck, Rex Evans. So, it's like, in retrospective, what did that do for you?
Finishing
third.
I mean, for me, a lot more people knew me, obviously, knew my character, not to sound selfish or anything like that, but I mean, I had more people, you know, talking to me and reading my work and stuff like that. It opened up more InterFed opportunities. But the really cool thing about it was, like, after results went up, I went on to the CRW forums, and I heard that everybody was in the shout box, like, cheering me on, and, like, this was back when we had Zat, and everybody, like, changed their names to Go Rex and all this stuff, and it was like a bonding time for the rest of the Fed as they read me go through SNC. So, I mean, I think it did more for the Fed as well than just for me. I'm not trying to say I'm the best writer in the Fed or anything like that, or I opened doors, but, I mean, after Survive and Conquer, I think that was when we started getting the really big influx of more additions and everything like that. We had Terry come in, you know, and I think Spectre was before that, but we had more people coming in, you know, Terry, Sally, Gordon's here now. We have the whole Final Four in CRW now. Mm-hmm. You came in, I mean, all these people, and I'm sure I'm forgetting a bunch of them, but just a bunch of people, and I think that getting our name out there through representing in InterFed is a good way to do that.
So, yeah, I talked to Gordon about it, and he's like, IWF didn't really, or, yeah, IWF, I was going to say IFW for some reason. IWF didn't really capitalize on him finishing fourth, just because they were the family that wasn't entirely too open to expanding outside of, like, if you come to them, yes, but they won't go out of their way to go introduce themselves to other people. And Gordon said that, he's like, you know, I just decided to do it myself. And now we're getting guys from IWF in your charity event, which we'll touch on probably after we talk about Rex Evans.
Okay.
So, were you proud that, like, yeah, I did that. I brought attention to the Fed, and now we're doing all this stuff, and it's because of me? Or you were just like, I just role-played, and this is just a byproduct of it.
I mean, I'm not trying to claim the fame or, like, say that I'm the reason people are here or anything like that, but, I mean, I feel like I'm going to come off as an ass saying this, but I mean, it did start a big influx when I did that. And I'm glad, if it was me as the reason, I'm happy that it happened, you know, cause I've grown to love this Fed, and I hope that it continues to grow. And, I'm on the staff there now as well. So that's my main goal is putting out a good product and, mm-hmm. and making the Fed one of the top.
I don't think it comes off as an ass because, I mean, you deserved it. You role-played and finished third on an InterFed event that 97 people failed, and there was even more that didn't even enter. So it's like one of these things, like, you have the right to brag about it.
Well, that makes me feel better, so thank you.
Yeah, and if anybody has a problem with it,
I know a 6'10", 300-pound fictional man.
And you also know a 6'3", 260 ginger-bearded man who doesn't really drive all that well. And drive by all that well. I mean, drive far. I don't like driving more than an hour away. I'm kind of lazy. So, Survive and Conquer wears off. You return back to CRW, whatnot. There's the VIW Clash of the Titans InterFed event, which we can touch about, because I've talked about it on this with Gooch, who was my partner. We lost to the same team that you ended up losing to in the finals.
Yep.
You lost to the Syndicate, Terry Marvin, level one, but you had Sally Talford as your teammate. So you were finishing, you the third place of Survive and Conquer, her the runner-up, were teaming up. You guys were the front runners, right?
Yep.
Where'd you come up with that name?
We made a Google Doc where we were, like, going over all of our stuff for the team, because we were thinking about, she was coming to CRW, so we were thinking about keeping it running and everything like that. And we were talking about, in character, our main reason for joining together was to beat Terry, because he beat both of us in Survive and Conquer, you know, threw her off, I don't remember what it was in results, but basically killed her.
That's and, not nice, Terry.
And he made me tap for, I believe that was the first time Rex tapped.
Did, uh, d- was that a damn you Terry Marvin moment?
No, I didn't really care. I mean, I was upset that Rex is the type of character where if he's going to tap, it's going to mean something, and I feel like being tapped out by first place and ending in third is a pretty good reason to tap. So I wasn't upset that it ended that way or anything. I thought it definitely added to it, and then it gave me fuel for the future. But the reason we came up with the front runners was because we were both runner-ups. We didn't want to be the runner-ups anymore. We were going to be the front runners.
Okay.
So, like, right. we worked it out in character and then touched on that in our shoot in both of our role plays, and that's okay. Kind of where it came from. But then we ended up still being runner-ups.
Okay. which it's all right. I've talked about it. I just feel like me and Gooch got a tough draw when we got those first guys, and there was teams that entirely didn't show, and we got stuck with these guys. It happens with random pairing up. I understand, yep. But I just feel you can make an exception for that, something like that.
Yeah.
So you do that. Your interfed stuff's almost about over. Carlisle Kane, who's been mentioned on this podcast several times for not for the best of reasons, if you listen to episode 10, decides to open or do his own InterFed event, a charity bash. And I remember he did something, or he opened up his own separate forum real quick for it, and then some guy named Tritch goes up, "Hey guys, Carlisle Kane's probably not going to do this, so I'm taking this over, and so nobody's effort's wasted."
I felt like a dick, but it had to be done.
Yeah. And it worked, and it was a great event.
Thank you.
And I guess we'll touch on it now, even though I just said we'll do it afterwards. But you decided to make it a biannual event. One in the spring, one charity event in the spring, and one in the fall. And you've actually started the sign-ups for that. I still owe you an application, which I'm just too lazy to do right now. Even though I can probably just copy and paste the one I sent to Talon, like, last week, and just post it. But I like typing everything out. I'm kidding. I'm just too lazy. but, yeah, so that's basically you doing a small, basically just being a Fed head in a small one-off event twice a year.
Yeah. I think that it's a fun way to give, because most of the InterFed stuff that happens is big tournaments and stuff like that. And I really liked Carlisle's initial idea of just having this one platform where you get to see a bunch of stuff you wouldn't normally see, or a bunch of stuff you've always wanted to see, you know. And I left it up to the e-wrestlers who wanted to join. To basically make the card. I'm just molding it and putting it together. So it's literally just an InterFed card. It's not a tournament or anything. You just get to go in and have fun, do things you don't normally do. And then there is a Survive and Conquer type match at the end if you want to partake.
I do. I think you already booked me for it. Which, two things. One, I don't like how you threw me against Badass and CJ Gates. I'm kidding. But I was sitting there, I was like, "Oh, he's like, oh, you guys want to be in?" And we all said, "Sure." And I think CJ goes, "Yeah, I'll face those two guys." And we're like, "No, that's fuck." that was my reaction. At least, like, oh, all right, those are two cool guys. I enjoy reading their work, so it's gonna be fun. Like, it doesn't mean much really in the grand, like, as far as in character stuff. You're doing a charity event. It's like an exposition.
Right.
And the second thing is I was on E-Fed Gorillas radio earlier this week, Monday.
Okay.
And they were asking me about the charity event. And I was like, well, here's the basis for it, where it happened and you decided to do a biannual event. Well, not to ask me all this about this. I ended up talking to him afterwards. I was like, if you want, I can get the guy. I might be able to get the guy who actually is running it to sell it a little bit better than me. He's like, he's asking me about this. I'm trying to sell it. Like, you know, get, you know, signups are over. You can sign up, and you have to have your app in by August 2nd. And they're like saying it's like an InterFed event, but without the pressure of having to win.
Right.
So I ended up. Hopefully, I sold it well enough. I guess.
Well, thank you.
No problem. No problem. But I'll give you the link to that and where we start talking about it. But it's a lot of, and it's nice to see because it is a great concept. I was just, as soon as I was told that this guy's probably going to no-show at his own event that he's starting, I was like, oh, well, that's not fun. Like, great. I just signed up for this. I'm going to roleplay for this, even though he may not show up. Oh, wait, this guy's going to take it over. Cool. I don't know who this guy is, but he's good peoples.
Yeah, and kind of the funny thing, if people have said not nice things about him before, I don't really care to mention this, but he ended up finally coming back like one day before the show was supposed to kick off or whatever, and he got all upset about it. And I told him, I'm like, I'm sorry you weren't here, you weren't saying anything, nobody was getting any answers, so I stepped up and I took over. You can still have your match, and you can help me with results if you want. So he told me the two matches he wanted to write, and he told me the match he wanted. So I booked him in the match. He role-played for the match, so clearly he wasn't too upset. But then he no-showed the results on me. So he did still no-show.
Yeah. Just didn't no-show in the classic fashion of right. role-playing. We've covered him enough on this podcast. It's almost becoming a running joke, which is kind of mean, but at the same time, he hasn't really done it much to not deserve it. Right. So, all the Interfed stuff has worn off. Were you in the Crucible tournament?
I was. And to give you a little explanation, Crucible is actually completely randomized. He throws like all the names in and does the pairings through random.org or whatever. But because of our feud, for the first time and the only instance of it in the tournament, he made Brandon and I partners so that if we made it out of the first round, we could have that match as to help further push our feud. So we were the only team that was actually put together purposefully in the tournament.
Okay.
And we got out of the first round and then had our bloodbath where he won. And I was actually really surprised at the way that they did results because I would have expected, you know, he's winning and it's a tournament. Obviously put him over strong, especially if he's going on to win the whole thing. But the way that he actually went over was my character is dating the boss's sister. Boss's sister comes out because she's scared for me. Garcia Hail Marys Allie. And then Rex snaps and goes to his dark place and just starts killing Brandon with a chair.
Did you, Eddie Phoenix him and he was talented? Did you, do 8 shooting star presses to him?
No, I didn't do that. Just, and the way that I had always sold Rex was that he always plays within the rules, never uses weapons, nothing like that. And so that was really cool, the way that they did it, was because I told him, if anything happens to Allie, all bets are off. And so they wrote the results where I watched that happen, Rex snapped, grabbed a chair, and just started repeatedly bashing his brains in. And got disqualified and kicked out of the tournament. So it was kind of cool because even though I was going out in the second round and Brandon went on to win, it still kind of put me over a little bit, put the character over because he didn't actually lose. He just got disqualified, you know. So I thought that was cool and nice.
Okay. And then you go on to Vendetta. Where you end up facing Brandon Garcia for the title.
Yep.
So within, is that September, October, November, December, January, February, March, right? Vendetta was in March, right?
Yes.
So you're 7 months in, you get the world title shot, and you defeat Brandon Garcia, and it's the finale of the feud. So how fun was that? Because I love the finales of feuds and hearing people talk about that.
It was really awesome. I mean, it was kind of it was unfortunate because Gav was going through some stuff in real life, and he didn't have as much time as he wanted to put towards it.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't blow off with huge role plays against huge role plays like it could have been, and that's why we're looking to reignite the feud sometime during season 3. But I thought that the way that the match was written and the role plays that we did get up, I thought it really sold it off well, and especially the way that it all ended, because in the match, it was a Hell in a Cell. They end up on top of the cell. Garcia goes to give a Hail Mary, which is like a flying knee to the face, to Rex. Rex ducks, and Garcia flies off the cage.
Red Bull in this case does not give you wings, people.
Right,
Red Bull,
right.
Do not, false advertising.
And then in character, Talon was also having a little feud with Brandon in character.
I'd hope so. He Hail Mary'd his little sister.
Right. So when Garcia crash landed, Talon wouldn't let the medics tend to him. So Rex came out, dragged him into the ring. I think he did one more move to him or whatever, and then pinned him. And then Talon finally let the medical team attend to him. So when Garcia finally does come back, which he just did at Code Red, he gets his vengeance on Talon rather than me. And then eventually the Rex Garcia feud will start up again, I'm sure.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
So you're now the champion. Champ is here. Dun-dun-dun. I do the little beat with either my chest or table, but I'm still waking up. So you're the champion, and then you get put into a feud with somebody known as Dougie Fresh.
That was
at least
my belief.
That's what you thought.
Yep.
I was one of the people in the know, even though I wasn't a part of CRW, and that's probably why I know, because I wasn't in CRW.
You bastard.
Well, I did the recording with Diego, and he's like, do you want me to fill you in? And I said, no, don't spoil it for me. And then he spoiled it all for me.
That sounds like Poncho.
Yeah. This is before I knew he was really a dick. So, I should have known. So how was that? Because you're thinking, all right, okay, now I'm going to test myself because I'm getting Dougie Fresh. I'm getting the expert champion.
Yeah, and I mean, not trying to take away from anybody else's skill, but if you have that title attached to your name, automatically I was shaking in my boots. Not that I wouldn't have pulled out my best work knowing, and I thought I still did pull out my best work when I did finally know that it was Diego, and anything like that. But when you're going against someone who has that kind of name recognition and that title underneath them, it's definitely momentum building not momentum. What's the word I'm looking for?
Motivation.
Yes, that's the word. Motivation building, because I mean, like I said, true expert. So if I beat him, I get to keep my title, and holy shit, I just beat the true expert, you know. Mm-hmm. Not that it wouldn't have been awesome to also beat Poncho. I would have liked to have beaten him, but he got the best of me. And I actually wasn't supposed to find out until the results, and Talon spilled the beans.
Aww.
He's like, well, just so you know, you're not facing Dougie.
But he didn't tell you who you were facing.
I think he did.
Okay.
He
so
did.
He did spill the beans, but for a while he left you in suspense.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it was like 3 days before deadline that he finally told me. I could have these details wrong, but that's what I believe.
Okay. If anybody, Poncho, if we hear that, like, your fingers are broken and you can't roleplay for a while or something like that, it's probably because Poncho found you. and Talon as well. Although, don't break his fingers, because I don't want Poncho being in charge for any longer. So, the that whole thing, I've never been a part of something like that, where I'm completely lost as to who I'm facing, but I have to, but I'm being told I'm facing somebody else. Like, you're facing Dougie, but the whole swerve, so you're building it, is like, I don't, all right, bring it, I'll face Doug. And at this time, you're becoming a free, Rex is becoming a free man, correct?
Right, yep.
So, everything was going good for Rex, world champ, his girl's recovering from taking a Hail Mary to the face, his girl is the sister to his boss, he's out of jail.
Rex's release date was May 6th, the day after Mayhem.
Okay, so he's going to get released, he knows he's getting released, and then Diego de la Vega returns looking like Spawn. And then you lose to Diego de la Vega. And then Rex kind of snaps again.
Yep.
So were you thinking of writing that he snaps to the point where, like, his, you know, it's one of those things, like, everything's going right and then everything goes horribly wrong. That's something where somebody who kind of goes into that place would return to that place and maybe go back to jail. Were you tempted with having to go back to jail?
I knew with my realism problems that I couldn't have him go back to jail, because if he fucks up and does it again, they're not going to let him wrestle. You know, like, it was a far enough stretch for him to go in once and be released to wrestle, but if he got arrested again, there's no letting him out. So I knew I couldn't do that. Honestly, that was kind of a last-minute thing with the whole realization of what Diego was doing, because I had a plan with Rex's little brother, Tommy. He was supposed to be in Mexico training under Diego, and Pancho obviously couldn't tell me that it wasn't going to work because he was coming back heel, so he just let me go with it. And so I was pushing it on Twitter and all this. And then finally they tell me that Diego is coming back heel. And I'm like, well, what the fuck? Where does that leave Tommy? And
Tommy's suicide.
Yeah, Tommy's suicide. And so I had him. I'm like, you know what? I've always wanted to ride a heel. Never done it before. Let's bring him back in a mask and have him snap and beat the crap out of his bigger brother. So that's kind of what did it. And then that's what really drove Rex back to alcoholism, because Tommy stabbed him in his back. He told Allie that he loved her and she got scared and ran away, and he lost his world title.
Everything got flipped upside down.
Yeah. Even though he was just released from prison, that's like one good thing with all of this bad shit.
And it's so the shiny nickel and the giant turd of life.
Right.
Of Rex Evans.
So he started drinking again.
And we've gone through Code Redemption 2. You had a big match with Gravedigger.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of, because if I believe if Gravedigger won at Mayhem, he would have been the number one contender, correct? Or was it just
right.
Because
I was putting my return match on the line. And so whoever won between us would go on to face whoever won between Eddie and Diego on the season premiere.
Okay. And you won, so now you get a rematch with Diego.
Yep.
And now you know you're facing Diego the entire time. And now
Hopefully.
You have an entire offseason. Yay, swerve. But now, yeah, you have an entire offseason. And now that's where we're at. We're in the offseason for Code Red.
Yep.
Did you sign up for Extreme Tournament this year?
I did.
Who are you facing?
I went against a no-show in Ron Rufio.
Oh.
So I am in round two.
Brandon Harvey, lucky you. You probably would have won anyways.
I've been told that.
I'm sweating out my match against Scott Rage.
Scott Rage is a pretty big name.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I'm very disappointed with my own work. I feel I left a lot to be desired.
I'm still reading through everything, so I'll let you know what I think once I get to yours.
All right, yeah. Compare that to my Code Redemption one, and you'll probably feel the exact same way as me. But so we're done. We're all caught up. I haven't thought of any other wrestling as in terms of e-wrestling topics. So we're going to go to the fun part of this. What's your... Rex has only been around for probably a year and a handful of months.
Yep.
What's your favorite moment?
In character? For the... For like what?
Or out of character, either or. Whatever's your...
I think, like, my favorite thing that has happened with Rex was the whole, the way that I sold that whole inter-promotional hell week, because the one thing that we left out was Iron King Tournament.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Survive and Conquer happened, and then Crucible, and then the VIW. Charity Bash, then VIW, and then Iron King right after. And I just thought that it was a really cool way to just keep killing Rex, essentially, because that was all in-ring, on-screen, or whatever. But while all of that was happening in my character development stuff, he was going through a lot of shit in prison, too.
He was getting biscuit buttered, wasn't he?
No, I never really touched on the rape thing.
That would have been one of those kind of role plays that makes everybody turn their heads, though. I think you missed out on that.
I mean, I mentioned it happening, just not to Rex. Basically, the main thing that I was pushing in prison was that there were all these rival gangs. And when Rex came in, he was a misfit, obviously, and the gangs tried to mess with him, but he's this huge guy who's a fighter, you know, so, like, he was putting up a fight. So then all the misfits of the prison kind of gathered around him, made this big gang, and started causing trouble in the neighborhood. And so
you got one little fight, and their mom got scared.
Right. Warden got scared, you know. and also, through all of this, the warden hated him because he's allowed to get out of prison. That makes all of his other prisoners unruly and unhappy. So the warden hated him too. So basically what's going on is all of Rex's misfits, except for two of them, get murdered by the rival gangs. And so then Rex gets all pissed off and goes to fight them. And then the two rival gang leaders trap them in their cell and carve a teardrop under his eye and an X across his chest. And they're about to kill him when the warden and the guards break in. Warden tells them to kill him, and then one of the guards shoots the guy who's going to kill him and arrests the warden.
Damn.
Yeah, so all this kind of that's where things started to get really far-fetched, but I wanted to do something that was over the top and emotional for Rex, because I think my writing thrives, whatever that word is, when there's a lot of emotional, depressing shit going on. And so I think it was seven or eight of his friends died, and then he's going through all that, and now he's got this horrible disfiguration on him, and he's that was all going into Vendetta. So that all happened right after all of these injuries from constantly competing, you know, being in the ring for 2 hours with Survive and Conquer, and then being in an hour Iron Man match with Sally Talford, going through 3 matches in one night in VIW, 2 matches in one night with Crucible. You know, he just kept going and then finally breaking, you know, in the ring and out of the ring. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Okay. That was interesting, because my take on that whole thing was like, you know, because it was an Interfed Hell Week. You know, I wrestled on Surviving Conquer, but not in Surviving Conquer. And then I had a couple weeks between, because it was Surviving Conquer, and then we were all building up to WrestleMania. But mm-hmm. I did have TJ, like, because at that time I was working with Reaver, and the whole thing was who's going down first, like who's gonna get the shit kicked out of them the worst.
Right.
And on top of that, he's going to the charity event. Reaver's there. They have an issue there. He's going to, he's got VIW, and he wrestles Terry Marvin in level 1. So that's a crazy, that's an intense match. And then the Iron King, I won against Black Death. He no-showed. And then I lost to Natalie Bateman, and that was kind of the like one of the a wild match, like it's just so like in character. And then it was WrestleMania, and I'm like, I need to really just sell that he's beat the shit.
Yeah.
And I think I missed an opportunity that I think I could have done a better job of it, but I sound like Andy Reid now. I should have done a better job. I just should have done a job. but I'll go back and I'll definitely read some of those works because it sounds interesting. Sounds like I don't know if you've there's this movie that Poncho keeps telling me about, Blood In, Blood Out.
Yeah, he told me about that too.
Yeah, Chon Chon, give me some Chon Chon. I think he'd be kind of upset if I didn't mention that. And the fact that if I'll say it for him, if he hasn't already said it, you missed an opportunity to recreate that scene.
I haven't watched it yet, so I'll definitely have to.
I'll give you the link to the clip that he showed me.
Okay.
It's almost exactly how you describe it, but instead of getting killed, it's rape.
Fun.
Yeah, right? So what's your least favorite moment with Rex Evans? If you have one. I mean, you've only been around for a year and a couple months, so it's not like... But I imagine there's got to be something.
Yeah. I mean... I think that the thing that... rather than saying least favorite, the thing I was most upset about would probably be not going further in Iron King. I was really looking forward to it. I mean, the guy who beat me, I didn't follow it afterwards, but I think... I lost to Rowan, and I think he won the title from Legacy during the tournament.
I think, if
I'm not mistaken. So obviously that makes me feel a little less bad, but I really wanted to go further in the tournament than just one round, and because I thought that was a good way to push my character more and write against some other people. I don't think I really have a least favorite as far as it, like an in-character thing okay. With Rex, at least. My least favorite moment with Tommy would be that role play I posted for Code Red, because that was shit.
But I have not gotten around to actually reading any of the role plays. I don't often read them, but when I do, I read them all. So
I put up like an 800 word promo. It was terrible. I ran out of time.
It's better than no showing.
Yeah, that's I wasn't gonna no show it.
When you're writing, what do you watch wrestling? Do you watch wrestling promos? Do you listen to music? Watch The Warrior over and over again? Maybe have some lonely time with The Warrior on. To get motivated, inspired to write?
Not really. I think that I'm probably from a different standpoint than most people because I'm an English major. Getting into the mindset to write isn't really something that I need to be inspired to do because, I mean, I do it just all the time. Like, that's what I want to do with my life. And as far as like from my story, what really inspires me is just what's already happened and kind of what I'm looking forward to. Like there'll be times every few weeks where I sit down and I come up with a list of things that I want to do. Like I already have pretty much all season, well not all season, but the first few months of next season planned out as far as my character development is concerned with Rex. And then it makes it easier for me when it is finally time to sit down and start writing. If I do have an issue getting into the mindset to write, like I was having last week while I was on vacation, then generally the only thing that inspires me to get started is reading other people's role plays. So like when I was trying to write my Rex role play against Gravedigger, I was reading Extreme Tournament role plays and just seeing what other people are doing and getting that feel for the e-wrestling world, just kind of is like, okay, this is what I want to do now. And then I just start going.
Okay. Do you? The thought came up, and I'm probably not the only one who's thinking this. Do you role play? Would you write your stuff while you're in your ring gear to really become the character?
I'm just saying. My ring gear is very, very stinky.
I imagine.
I can't wash it. So.
Not even in the sink? Like, just sink, rub it, scrub it down?
I probably could, but I'm way too scared. It was $200, and there's a lot of, like, decor on it. I'm afraid to get it wet that it's going to come off. So I give it a Febreze bath before every show.
Fair enough. I remember watching, it's probably a terrible example, but Hogan Knows Best when he's telling, I think he's telling Harry Smith how to lock up. He's like, you gotta get a mustache and you have like 4 eggs before a match and then you have it. And then that egg smell just sits on your mustache and you just blow the egg smell into their mouth when they lock up. I'm like,
what?
That's I'm dead serious too.
Like, huh?
It's hilarious. It was like one of the only funny moments from, like, intentionally funny moments from Hogan Knows Best.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Now, is there anybody you mold your writing after? I mean, I've had Callahan on. He's talked about like Tom Clancy and some other guys that I don't know of. But like, including outside of e-wrestling, are there people that you like mold your writing after?
This will be funny since I've already told you I'm an English major, but it took me a long time to enjoy reading. I didn't like reading books like all through high school, but for some reason I loved writing. And I just like, probably my junior year of college, so 2 years ago, I decided to start reading books. I've been e-wrestling longer than I've been reading, pretty much. So I haven't really, there's not really an author that I base it after. Really, the way that I write, I take feedback very seriously. When I lost to Hannah Rickman in the first round last year, I posted my role play on the Knights feedback forum, and I think T-Bone gave me some advice, and somebody else gave me some advice, and I paid attention to it. I followed that, and what people say to me, I take to heart. And I try to mold to that unless I disagree with them, and most of the time I don't. So, like one thing that I was doing that I'm pretty sure it was T-Bone said he didn't like was I used to have scenes separated with a line and then like the time, the date, and all that. And he said that it took him out of the story. So then I adapted. And I still wanted to have scene changes, but rather than doing it with, here's a new scene, this is what day it's on, that kind of thing, I started doing the journals. And so there was a date and a place there, but that's because it was a written journal, and then I was able to start it in a new place after and then do another journal if I wanted to change scenes again. So really, I just mold my style after what people tell me is working or not. Most of the time.
Okay, I'm going to totally steal that because I do the exact same thing. Date, time, and, like, I never used to do it, and then somebody suggested, like, why don't you give a day and a time to when these things happen, and, like, when you're talking? And I was like, oh, that makes sense. I'm like, you'd figure, the idea is that we're watching these promos on the internet, and there's a date and a time to when these things are posted.
Right.
So basically that's the idea of
it works with some, like the way that you write,
mm-hmm.
probably it works like that. But the way that I was doing my story, there's no cameras or anything. You're reading this like you're reading a book, you know, like when you read a book, you're not expecting a camera to be following them around, you know, and when you read books, you don't have dates and times between every chapter, you know. There's just a chapter break when you're in a new place, basically. So because I write like that, you know, if I'm going from a jail scene to a scene backstage, something needs to separate that. and it doesn't really make sense to just throw out a date and a time and a location. So I started doing my shoot through journals, because I also didn't have him ever film promos. So I just had journals, and I worked it in that it was prescribed to me by his, or prescribed to Rex by his psychiatrist, that he needed to start keeping a journal. And so he was writing these journals, and then that's what separated my scenes. And I still use that sometimes. I did a totally different format for Code Red. Obviously, it worked, but I don't know if I'm going to stick with that. That was just kind of a one-time thing that worked with what I wanted to do. But I'm always open to change. I'm always open to trying new things. And I don't like to always keep one format, because it can get stale after a while.
Okay.
But yes, feel free to steal it if you would like.
I might. I'll think about it. I'm not entirely sure if it's going to fit my character, but I can. Where I think I'm going as far as character development for season 3, it might fit.
Right on.
Because I'm gonna. There's a lot that's gonna happen in season 3 for me. That I have planned. It's gonna be fun.
I'm excited.
Me too. I'm happy because now it's something that's overarching and might even lead to season 4.
Cool.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like the setup that CRW has, because I mean, you have now Rob's running on proven grounds for people who are new or they just want to role play because they're bored.
Right.
Me, I'm taking this month off. Because I'm going to actually enjoy having no... Like, I'm just going to work on eFed Journal stuff, get enough interviews in the bag that I can not interview for a week, work on a role play, and not have to worry about stuff.
Unless you advanced to round 2, of course.
Yeah. So I mean, we're pretty much done here. I mean, we've covered Rex Evans. We've covered that you don't role play in your wrestling gear. we've covered how being a wrestler is kind of how e-wrestling helps out a lot, and how it kind of teaches you what you have to do as far as making your own character relate to some people.
Yeah, for sure. Inversely, being a wrestler helps you with match writing. Looking back, before I actually joined the indies, any matches that I wrote, just shit compared to now. Like, I didn't know anything about psychology or anything like that. I'm not saying that people who aren't wrestlers that write matches don't write good ones. I'm saying that I wrote terrible matches before I knew anything about psychology. And now that I do, I think that it's a lot easier to convey the story that you're supposed to convey in a match. Mm-hmm. So it does go both ways. E-wrestling helps pro wrestling. Pro wrestling helps e-wrestling.
We talked about the fun time that was the lead up to Mayhem. You not entirely sure. Are you thinking you're facing Dougie Fresh to only to have the rug pulled out from under you the last show before the pay-per-view?
I definitely thought it was a joke at first too. When you, I'm like, no, what are you saying?
That, I mean, if I'm like, because I knew what was kind of going on, it was kind of, like, I knew, I was looking, I was like, oh, that's great. Like, this is going to be one of those kind of reveals that people go, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And what Diego's done, what Poncho's done with the Diego character since that is just awesome.
Yeah.
And what you've done since then, because, you know, it's, I think the fact that you lost kind of helped you in a little bit more, because you saw him, you saw Rex, everything was culminating. It was like, yes, he's winning at life, and then pull out the rug from under him right before he had it all.
Right.
And then his character, now he's got CRW by the balls.
Yep.
Rex, Trich, it was a blast. I'm looking forward to the fall charity event. You want to give it a quick plug?
Yeah, I mean, if you still got some time to sign up, if anybody, well, I don't know when's this going on the air?
2 weeks, probably.
Sign-ups will be closed, but I'm always open if anybody who didn't get a match, there's a month till deadline. So, I mean, if you want to get in and post something for the Rumble at the end, that's definitely acceptable. Basically, what I'm going to be doing, and for the future, too, because I'm going to keep it going, there will be one in March and then one in September every year. And if you've ever wanted to write against somebody specific, or if there's something that if there's something you want to see people against each other, whatever like that, this is definitely the place to do it. Just get in contact with me on CRW boards or to the Jasper Coates Twitter account. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it, and it's basically an event for everybody else. I just want to give something back and hopefully house a good, fun show for everybody.
All right. Before we go, I'm giving you the floor. You've got 10 or so minutes to say whatever to whoever. You can say hi to somebody. You can tell somebody that you really enjoy their work or whatnot. I'm giving you the floor. Go ahead. This is your time to cut a promo. Okay? I'm letting you cut a promo.
Listen here, brother.
Brother. You know what? Actually, give me a 5-minute promo. You're facing Rex Evans. God. Promo on yourself. Oh my God.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, come on. All right, fine. No fun. But yeah, 10 minutes to just say whatever to whoever.
Right on. First, I want to give a big thanks to anybody who might happen to be listening that I was writing with back in Extreme Fanatic Wrestling or Powerhouse Wrestling. I don't think either Fed is around anymore, but that doesn't mean that some of the writers didn't find their way here. So thank you for getting me my start, no matter how terrible of a writer I was back then. Thank you to Gust for actually getting me back into it, because during my little retirement, he told me about a Fed and I decided to jump in, and that kind of got my wheels turning and getting back into it. Also, thank you for letting me steal your identity for my manager. As far as other Feds, obviously CRW, it's a great place if you're looking for a place to join. Any of the experts Feds as well, SCW, PW, APW. That's it now, right? No more TFWF?
No more TWFW.
Whatever it is.
It's too many initials. You need three.
I feel like I'm missing. VWF, that's the one I was missing. There we go. I've been there as well, so that's a great Fed. Join InterFed stuff. There's a bigger sea out there for you writers. IWF is definitely a cool place as well. I went over there for a one-off with Gordon after SNC. It's a great place, great writers there. Thank you to Talon and Buck for really making me feel welcome and bringing me in. And thank you to Gav for the most badass feud I've ever been a part of. Thanks to everybody at CRW for making my time here and in the future awesome. I look forward to working with all of you that I haven't worked with yet and those that I have again. It's been a lot of fun. I'm definitely looking forward to season 3. For some plugging, follow my accounts on Twitter, Tommy Suicide, Rex Evans, and Jasper Coates. And if you are a fan of independent wrestling, Rex Ritchie on Facebook. It's my indie fan page, Ritchie. And on YouTube, I've got some videos up, youtube.com/TRITCHIE. I think that's it. So,
folks, wrestling's not fake. There's pictures to prove it.
Yes, my chest was destroyed a couple weeks ago.
I'm going to echo the statements of somebody. If it can be handled with a cream, it's not an injury.
True that.
Rex, it was a blast. I'm happy we got to do this.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Not a problem. We'll obviously we'll keep in touch. We're just both in CRW. But everybody else, as soon as the season starts, we'll follow you. If you're not signed up for the Fall Bash and you're thinking about it, do it. You're not going to regret it. If you don't want to do it, but you want to keep a note on it, do it. So follow it, because it's going to be a lot of fun. There's my own plug of it.
And I am going to be throwing commercials and stuff in there, too, so send me a PM if you want me to put a graphic for your show on there or anything like that.
You already know, you already got the one about the EFJ, right?
Yeah. I'll definitely plug yours.
Gracias, sir. So for now, I guess we shall be parting our ways.
All right, man.
I don't know how well that went over. That was me trying to say I'll see you later, but I wanted to sound fancy.
Didn't work. I think it worked.
Don't work. It was a blast. I had a lot of fun. And I'll see you around.
Sounds good.
Rex Evans, everybody. He does not roleplay in his wrestling gear, but he does have commercials intended for his charity bash. So send him a direct message on Twitter or PM him on the Code Red Wrestling boards about it. I know I already have. I already called dibs on at least 3 commercials, so... Get in line, guys. I'm kidding. I got 2. So speaking of Rex, before we end this show, Rex wanted to say a couple of words. You know, wanted to plug a Fed. So Rex, here you go, buddy.
If you guys are looking for a good Fed to join, I would definitely recommend Code Red Wrestling. It's at coderedwrestling.com. We're open to anybody. I don't think we have a cap. We're about to start up a second show. I think that's common knowledge now. Hopefully I didn't spill the beans on anything. We're on an off season right now, about to be starting up season 3. If you listen to the rest of the show, you know that the staff is very open to storylines and working with you on what you want to do. I've never really been turned down on any of my ideas. I don't think anybody else has. So it's a good, solid family feel, and there's a lot of really solid writing, and it's a good experience. So if you're looking for a new place to come to, I definitely recommend CRW.
Thanks, Rex. So that'll about do it this week. Another eFed journal in the books. What else is there to talk about? Do I got a website to plug? Yeah, efedjournal.blogspot.com or efedjournal.webs.com. I should just plug those. See, I'm sly. I know what I'm doing here. Check those out. Blogspot page has all the past episodes. Webs has the links, the testimonials, the members stuff and whatnot. There's some people over there you can chat with, discuss the show. Head over to CWC where you can do the exact same thing in my own special forum. They were nice enough to give me a forum there. Discuss the show there. Each show has its own thread. You can follow me on Twitter at the eFed Journal. What else is there? I got a tease for next week. Yeah, I do have a tease for next week, which is 19, which means next week it will be the last one before another panel discussion about egos and attitudes and politics. There we go. I could not remember it. It's my own panel episode. What do I got to tease for that? Gooch? If you smell with the gooch. Gooch is going to be smelling a lot what we're talking about. I'm going to have Gooch on. He's going to be part of the panel. And next week I'll give you one more person from the panel. We're going to have 3 people from the panel. Or 4. I'm working on that 4th. Getting him in post. For everybody here at the eFed Journal, which is just me, myself, and my laptop, I want to thank you, whether you're man, woman, child, dog, cat, platypus, zebra. Zebra's the animal of the week, everybody. And if you are deaf or blind and you found this,
God, I love you. I'm TJ. Thanks for staying by. And remember, stay e-fetting. Later.
Can't believe he injected you. Oh, I can't believe he dug up your dead brother and elbow dropped him. And I can't believe he kicked you in the nuts for the 100th time. Oh, I can't believe he broke you out of prison and you were blowing up and killing you. I can't believe he's doing this to you, man. This is the, when that happened, when I was like a prison break and
yeah, and like he shoots up.
Blew up, I RP'd the very next day about, yo, so how was that movie shoot?